always got utter belief in him.
And somehow she's found the acceleration.
Welcome to the Friday 15. Thanks for listening. Always nice to chop it up with you guys. No big track meets this week. We got to wait until Thursday, the 22nd of August, for the Diamond League to return. But we're going to hit a few final Olympic storylines, talk about the three track athletes who repeated in Paris. How does that compare to previous years? We'll take an early look ahead to some of the Olympic 1500 rematches. Cole Hawker and Ingebrigtsen squaring off in Lausanne, and then we're going to have in Zurich the top four. Those two plus Josh Kerr and Jared Naguse. Yeah, you don't think we're going to avoid the men's 1500. Of course, we're going to talk about it. So let's run. And happy anniversary to Usain Bolt, whose 100-meter world record turns 15 years old on this day. We'll discuss why it's lasted so long and how much longer it's going to last. Should be a fun show. This is Jonathan Galt, joined by Robert and Weldon Johnson, co-host of the podcast. Robert from a hotel room in suburban Baltimore. Weldon from his car. I'm the only one who's actually doing this from their normal location, my apartment. But this is the lengths we go to bring you this podcast. So good to see you guys.
John, am I allowed to say I'm unhoused now?
I feel like that's a bit misleading. Well, then.
Okay, I do have a roof over my head, but staying at the in-laws for a few days till I move west to my new, not sure if I dropped the location, still keeping it somewhat secret. I have told some Let's Run Supporters Club members I will soon be a bi-coastal elite. Texan bi-coastal elite. It'll be official.
Robert, are you doing okay? Right now it looks like you're filming a hostage video from some undisclosed location. Do you have a copy of today's newspaper? Can we verify this is live?
Thanks for asking, John, since I could have died since you gave me COVID.
I've asked you multiple times since then how you're doing. I think every time we've talked, I've tried to get an update. So I didn't ask you on the air because I literally just asked you half an hour ago.
Feeling better. Testing negative. I was afraid last night that the stress of the upcoming family vacation was going to give me a rebound case of COVID, but I don't think that's happened. Pleased to report that I finally finished my retrospective piece on the Olympics. I'm just wondering if the title is too negative. The five biggest winners and losers from the Paris Olympics. I don't want the people on the negative side of the ledger to think that they're actually losers. But isn't that kind of our job to write a piece like that?
This is a side of Robert I haven't seen. Robert hasn't really cared about criticizing athletes in the past. Usually you're willing to make big proclamations and aren't scared who you pissed off. So has something changed, Robert, since you returned from Paris?
Not really. I just think that you come up short in Olympics. You already know you screwed up. But hey, I like my list. It's definitely U.S.-centric and definitely distance-oriented.
Yeah, winners and losers, it's a time-old premise, and I don't think there's any issue with it as long as you're fair and respectful and aren't acting like an asshole, which I don't think you will. So, okay. Speaking of winners, one of the stats, we're trying to put the Olympics in perspective. One of the stats we came up with, someone in our Let's Run thread said, oh, only one track athlete repeated as champion from Tokyo to Paris. And I'm like, wait, that can't be true. Well, it turns out it's actually not true. Three athletes did it. Faith Kipyegon in the 1500, which was her third in a row. Soufiane El-Bakkali in the steeplechase. And then Sydney McLaughlin-Lavroni. And I was still kind of surprised, though. You would think, especially with the Olympics there only being 3 years between these Olympics as opposed to four, it would be a bit larger. So if you run the numbers, compare this to the previous Olympics, it is slightly lower. 2021, there were five repeat champions, Shawnee Miller-Weibo, Faith Kipyegon, Eliud Kipchoge, then Elaine Thompson-Herah in both the 100 and 200. The year before, 2016, there were six repeat champions, Bolt, Rudisha, Farah, and Semenya. Bolt and Farah both doubled up. And then before that, 2012, there was four repeat champions, Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, Tirunesh Dibaba, and then Usain Bolt doubling up. So do you guys have a... Is this just like a small blip, or is there any sort of larger point to take away from this? The other thing we should note, Jakob Ingebrigtsen and Joshua Cheptegei both won golds in the last two Olympics, but in separate events each time. So is there any larger trend to take away from this, or is it just, you know, historical fluke?
I think there might be a larger historical trend, but I do think that some of this stuff is a little bit randomness noise. Like, well, we're talking about repeat champions, though, that's gold medals. But in my biggest winners and losers, four of the five spots were operated by Americans, but one was Gudolf Tsegay / Ethiopia because they only won four medals. But it's actually interesting. Athletics Weekly ranked Ethiopia top eight scoring, and they were actually fourth in the top eight scoring. So they still had a decent Olympics. They just didn't win medals. So, you know, like, who wins the gold is hard. But to me, Athletics Weekly in another piece had an interesting stat. 27 different countries won medals at this Olympics in athletics. That's a new record. I think it's four more than ever. So I definitely think that it's probably more competition, better coaching all over the world because of internet. So it's slightly harder, but we're talking about track. We're not talking about obscure field events where people didn't used to know how to train. So more competition, but mainly fluke would be my answer.
My takeaway is your time at the top is very limited, my God. I mean, like Krauser, this is his third in a row. So we're mainly talking about sprinting, but I was like, wow, I can't believe so few. No one had done that in the shot. That's only an 8-year window. But now looking at these stats, just even a 4-year window, it's really low. So, I mean, we're still talking like five is what? There's like 20 track events. So that's still 25%. Most of them. And generally, year in, year out at any track race, there's very few upsets. The favorites win all the time. So there's not like a lot of randomness in the races. It just, to me, it shows some of the fundamentals of our sport. Human beings, there's not a lot of skill in a sport, right? It's a lot about peak fitness, peak, how far can you sprint? You know, how fast can you sprint? How far can you throw? You're at your peak physical fitness for a very short time in life, and prolonging that or like overcoming other people, it's very difficult.
Yeah, my takeaway is you need to be, to repeat as Olympic champion, you need to be a freak of freak. And usually it means you're significantly better than your next closest rival and you've stayed healthy and, you know, are ready to perform those both those days. Because you look, Sydney McLaughlin-Livroni, she's significantly better than everyone else, and she was healthy. El Bakkali, I mean, he's clearly got the best kick of all those other guys. And then Kipyegon, way better than anyone else in the history of her event. She's been able to stay healthy. It's, you know, you have a lot of these, like, anyone who wins an Olympic gold medal is obviously an enormous talent, but to repeat, you basically need that situation where you have the gap on everyone else, because it's quite, you're not probably going to be repeating in two close races.
That gets me to my next question. Who do you guys think, let's go through the men and women, who's most likely to repeat on the track? Here are your track winners. Noah Lyles, well, I guess we could just take it one by one. I definitely don't think he's likely to repeat. He only won by 0.005 of a second. Tobogo, I think he's a generational talent. I think he's got a wonderful chance, but I think Noah Lyles is pretty good at the 200. Quincy Hall, tough to repeat in the 400. Emmanuel Wanyoni, I think this guy may be the greatest talent we've ever seen in 800. But that's a tough event to repeat in, although David Rudisha did it. Cole Hawker, Jakob Ingebrigtsen, Joshua Cheptegei, Grant Holloway, and Rye Benjamin. to me, I was going through some of them and I decided to list them all. I've got my two now. What do you guys think?
I think there are three who I feel good about. I think you're leaning to Bogo and Wanyonyi. I would agree with that, Robert, though I will point. I mean, Wanyonyi, he's not far ahead of everyone else. He only won by 100th with three guys around 141. But the big advantage he has for LA 28 is he's a lot younger than those other guys. He's 20. Most of his other rivals are 25 or 26. So he's obviously got a great chance. To Bogo, 1946 at age 21. He's fantastic. I think the main thing standing in his way, you're saying Lyles. I mean, Noah Lyles would be 31 by the time of the next Olympics. So I'm not sure he'll be that dominant force in the 200 meters anymore. The biggest hurdle, I think, for him is Knighton. Knighton ran 19.4 when he was 18. So if Knighton can put it together, he could give him a big challenge. And then Jakob Ingebrigtsen. Jakob is only 23, be 27 at the next Olympics. If he's still running the 5,000, I think he'll still be a heavy favorite. So those are the three guys on the track side that I think are the most likely to repeat.
Well, my top two, I didn't even say them. I'm thinking Jakob and Grant Holloway.
John, who are yours again?
I think Tobogo, Wanyonyi, and Ingebrigtsen. Holloway's essentially unbeatable. I guess he'll only be 30 by the next Olympics. So, I say only 30. I mean, it's only 1 year longer than Lyles and those other guys. I knocked him. Holloway, it just kind of depends. He's already been at the top for 5 years. Can he? He may very well be the greatest 110-meter hurdler of all time. You know, if he tacks on another couple titles, he'll surpass Alan Johnson. Could I see him still being at the top of the event 4 years from now? Absolutely. I just have a little bit more confidence in the other guys because they're younger. But Holloway, certainly there's a case to be made for him.
I was going Holloway, Benjamin, Jakob. I could maybe be convinced to put Tobogo in the 200, which is crazy because I didn't think he'd win the Olympics. It's just hard. Women said, I got to put Faith Kipyegon down again. No, I mean, how old is she, John?
She's 30.
If we got to put Sydney.
If she's still running, if I had a guarantee she's only running the 400 hurdles in the next Olympics, then I'd feel very, very confident in it. But I wonder if she'll have expanded her interests or if she'll be doubling or something. You still got to rate her highly. I mean, Beatrice Chabet. Chabet's only 24. She's got a pretty good chance to repeat in her two track events.
Chabet's a good one. I mean, the reason I said Benjamin, too, the hurdles, like, just all in all, just not that competitive. You don't have, I mean, now it really is on the men's side, but Warholm's going to be older. You know, it's just some new talent is going to try the hurdles. That's why if Sydney just, I don't know, stays in the event, even if she's doubling, I still think she wins the hurdles.
Yeah.
The women, 100.
Most of these.
If she carried one, maybe I'd put her down, but she didn't win.
I mean,
Gabby Thomas, at the time really wasn't that good.
Alfred is a year younger than Sha'Carri. I mean, a lot of the women's champions, apart from Kipyegon, are quite young. So Alfred certainly could repeat, but that's a talent-rich event, and it's going to be tough. Gabby Thomas, I mean, she is the third fastest woman of all time, but I don't view her repeat chances as good as some of these other women. Hodgkinson, she's going to have a thing Mo coming back in her event. So even if you argue that Keeley has now surpassed the thing because her PR is faster, that's not going to be easy. And a thing is 2-1 in championships finals against Hodgkinson. And then Winfried Yavi in the steeplechase is only 24. So she just ran 8:52. She'll still be a factor as well. I could see a bunch of these women repeating in LA.
One guy we did not mention there repeating is Cole Hawker. He's still the Olympic 1500 meter champion. Yet somehow we always talk about Jakob. related to that, we got a phone call, guys. Fake Josh Kerr. He's announcing. He's still going for gold in 2028. Here it is.
Hi, boys. It's the fake Josh Kerr here from Paris. Well, that was a hell of a championship race. Cole, MF, and Hawker. What a race the boy ran. Olympic record. Gold medal. Amazing. He fully deserved it. Congrats to him. The fake Josh Kerr, though. Aye, I raced Ingebrigtsen, didn't he run the race? That's what happens, you get a silver medal. But, aye, congrats again to Cole. That was amazing. You know what was the amazing, though? It was 25 minutes of the podcast yesterday, going on and on and on about Ingebrigtsen and what he didn't do wrong and his tactics and this and that, when you should have been celebrating your gold medalist. Right, good luck getting Cole to come on the show ever again. That was ridiculous. Come on, Rojo, give your head a shake. Anyways, the real winner yesterday was actually Let's Run, because the fake Josh Kerr now has a bronze medal and a silver medal, and that means that Los Angeles is only 4 short years away. So, that means you get 4 more years of the fake Josh Kerr phoning into the podcast. Hi, you're welcome. Anyway, boys, congrats again to Cole Hawker, right? Deserved a champion, championship racer, and that's what fake Josh Kerr likes his championship racing. So, we'll chat soon. All right, boys. Cheers.
Well, I'm glad that we'll have Josh Kerr and the fake Josh Kerr around for another 4 years. And apologies if we didn't give Cole Hawker his due, but we will have the rest of eternity to talk about that race. I'm sure we're going to bring it up a few times. It was quite possibly the greatest 1500 I've ever seen. And American record, depending on how you view the American record, but the Let's Run policy is that's the American record as well. So, yeah, Cole Hawker, certainly he has a repeat chance in LA. The reason I didn't list him among those other guys is his event's loaded. Jakob's incredible. Josh Kerr is incredible. Jared Neguse is incredible. Niels Laros is on the come up. He's going to be contending in LA 2028. So, it's not as if Cole Hawker can't win 4 years from now. Obviously he can. He's just got the gap between him and everyone else in that event is smaller than in some of the other events we discussed.
Yeah, we got another voicemail. I think maybe the day of the 1500 final. Essentially the caller pointed out what somebody said. The band's going to be back together in 2028. A lot of these guys are very young. Cole, Neguse, Laro. I mean, Laro's will be 23. Hawker's going to be, what, 27?
Kessler? Hobbs Kessler win the next Olympics? Absolutely. Like,
Hobbs Kessler was fifth place at the Olympics. He barely gets a mention. The third U.S. guy was fifth at the Olympics. Just what a race.
Well then, here's the thing about the 1500 of the U.S., though. I mean, I'm not going to say, oh, the next 3 or 4 world Olympic teams are all just set in stone that no one can beat these guys. But holy shit, if you're Joe Wascom or Nathan Green or someone like that trying to make a team, you've got to go through a 23-year-old Cole Hawker, a 25-year-old Jared Neguse, and a 21-year-old Hobbs Kessler. I mean, that is just a effing gauntlet to even make the team. It's going to be so difficult.
And wait, remember we're debating U.S. versus U.K. 1500 meter runners? It's over. We won. America has defeated Great Britain again. But this caller also was speculating. He's like, do you think the event's going to change how it's run? Essentially saying, is anyone going to want to lead it? He essentially said, now you got to be a 330 runner who can kick. But having said that, nobody wants to lead. But John, do you think there's one guy who's still going to try to lead it, right?
What does he mean, no one wants to lead? Jakob always wants to lead. We asked him in Paris if he was going to change his strategy. He basically said no. He wants to win honorably, which I don't know if that's just his way of saying, I can't win with a kick, so I need to run this way. But I don't see Jakob changing his tactics. It only takes one guy to run from the front to force a fast pace. And even if it's not Jakob, like, I don't know, someone like, we saw Timothy Chariot do this as well. The guys whose if you don't have a monster kick, it can be in your interest to make these races fast. Someone like Stuart McSwain, we see him do it in the Diamond League circuit, or Abel Kipsang did it in the World Championship Finals. If you don't have a monster kick, you want a faster race to maximize your chances of finishing higher. So I think we're still going to see it this way, unless those strength guys decide, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not interested in pushing the pace anymore, but I don't think that'll happen.
It should have happened. We should have had the Ingebrigtsen family make up. Norv Nordås should have sacrificed himself for Jakob to make amends. Gert should have demanded it. Then Jakob would have another Olympic title. Jakob, I mean, it's a shame I wasn't at the post-race press conference and I had COVID, because John sometimes won't pressure these athletes, John, or their coaches. John talked to Fiona O'Keefe's coach, Alistair Craig, and didn't bother to ask them, like, hey, did you think about giving up the spot? He only asked about the injury, John. I mean, that's like journalism malpractice, I must admit.
It was the middle of the Olympic marathon. I didn't have time to conduct a wide-ranging interview with Alistair Craig. I'm sorry.
Now, perhaps since I'm kind of friendly with Alistair, I'm probably,
and they,
I might not.
They clearly did think about it. They flew out Jessica Tan McLean.
Okay.
She was flown out to Paris.
Y'all's anger towards me is unwarranted. But I would have asked Jakob, and I've already signed up for the virtual mix zone for all of the Diamond Leagues. One of them already passed, but I'm for 4 or 5, so I'm going to try to ask him this. He says, oh, are you going to change your tactics? You know, there's an honorable way to run the race. Well, isn't there if that's true, it seems like front running. Well, then why doesn't he front run the 5,000? I just don't understand that logic. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Now, I don't know if you guys saw the news. I have this up prominently displayed on the website. But this is basically what I suggested on the last podcast. A researcher and coach, Olaf Alexander Bu, has looked over the data, figured out how many newtons leading has cost Jakob Ingebrigtsen.
How many newtons?
I don't know, kilowatts, all these random scientific terms I didn't know, John.
What about seconds? That's the one I understand.
Yeah, it would have been better if it had written just in seconds. But he said basically if Jakob had not led the entire Olympics, the startling conclusion is he would have run near the world record in Paris if he'd had a rabbit. Which really isn't that shocking. He ran, what, 3:28?
He ran near the world record with the rabbit in Monaco. We needed a scientific study to conclude this?
So.
Then the guy has job security for life, John. Tenure's great if you can get it. All right.
Who do we...
We do have Jakob and Cole... And who else, John, in Lausanne next week?
No, Lausanne is the battle of the Olympic champions. Cole Hawker and Jakob Ingebrigtsen. And we're going to have to wait a couple more weeks for Zurich when Josh Kerr and Yara Nagus join the party. But yeah, Thursday, Hawker, Ingebrigtsen, Hobbs Kessler's in there, Brian Coman, and... Reynald Chariot, Timothy Chariot, Ollie Hoare. But yeah, Hawker versus Ingebrigtsen. Hawker Ingebrigtsen is the big headline, but you do have Hobbs Kessler in there.
And I think we got an email asking what people thought the appearance fees were. Who gets more money?
Well, that was...
I have no idea what the range of these appearance fees are. We should do the agent survey again.
Yeah, we do need to bring back the agent survey. But no, this was to Zurich. Basically, the question was, you know, you're getting all three medalists plus Jakob. Who's getting the most? Who's getting the least? And even though he was only fourth in the Olympics, I still think it's Jakob, because I think he's a bigger star than all of them. He moves the needle more. Is that how you guys see it? Like, if you had to rank them, who's getting the most to run that race versus the least? I'd probably go Jakob. I'm not even sure if Hawker would make more than Kerr. Hawker, like, Kerr has been in headlines all year. Hawker has not, but he is the Olympic champ. I'd say those two are probably... pretty close. I'd probably give Hawker, maybe give Hawker a little more because he did just win the Olympics. And then I think it's Kerr third and Nagus fourth. What do you think?
I think Jakob is number one. Maybe that's crazy, but he's the alpha in this event. He's the one we talk about. He still sets he's the one everyone else reacts to. He's the favorite in any one of these races still, with a rabbit for sure. I think Hawker's got to be second. They weren't the Olympic champion. Like, sorry, Kerr. Kerr's clearly third, and then the rest, no offense to Yard, who was, what, 0.01 behind Kerr for the silver medal? Like, right now, like, he's not moving the needle as much.
Look, it's a winner-take-all society. Nagusa's bronze is pretty much irrelevant at this point, sad to say. But there's another American in the event with a gold. And in terms of, yeah, if I was paying the parents' fees, I would do Jakob first, Cole second. And I'd also, you know, Hawker's tweet of, oh, today's price isn't yesterday's price. Damn is if you've signed a contract, in my opinion. But I always wonder, like, these meets are kind of, well, before the Grand Slam track league existed, aren't they negotiating against themselves? What's Hawker going to do, sit out and not race at all? Get nothing?
I mean, if he wants $20,000 a race and they're only offering $10,000, he might just say it's not worth my time. I've already raced a few times. Clearly he wants to keep racing, and I think he's going to get some nice paydays. But yeah, the option is don't race.
Kerr was smart signing up for that Grand Slam League. Probably get to the, you know, appearance fee to do the circuit, and then he can go for the prize money. I mean, he ran an excellent in Paris, but your perception of the sport can change quickly. You can be eclipsed by other people. There's not a ton of money, so get it when you can.
Well, you said that in the rabbit race, Jakob is clearly the favorite.
You don't think Jakob's favorite in every rabbited race? Like, without question, what are you talking about?
Well, I think that's a fair question to ask. I do think he is favored, but we just saw three other guys run 3:27. And that was with, obviously they had Jakob kind of leading them, but you put those guys in Monaco in that kind of fitness. I mean, Yared Nuguse was in that in Monaco and he got pasted, but I don't think it's a slam dunk that Jakob is just continuing to boss everyone. I think I'd like his chances more because he's shown he's been able to run at this level more consistently across an entire season, but I don't think you could just write off three guys who just ran 3:27.
Hey, who's the favorite? You got to give me a favorite.
Jakob, no.
The favorite in a rep?
Jakob is the favorite. I just don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I don't think he's just like, oh, he's definitely going to win all these races. But what do you think, Robert?
Well, excited they're racing. I mean, Jakob ran 3:20. Cole ran 3:27.6 with the help of a rabbit. And he got to pass on the inside at the end. It was basically a perfect trip. I mean, he had a rabbit for basically 1,500 meters. Jakob has run 3:26.7 with the help of a rabbit. So, but also Hawker ran in the back of those guys. I think Hawker can run 3:27 low, but I think Jakob can run even faster. So I think Jakob will win. I think he'll run like, again, I said it wouldn't shock me if he broke the world record, but it also wouldn't stun me if Cole Hawker broke the world record.
I mean, that would stun me. That would absolutely stun me. You think Cole Hawker can run 3:25 right now? That would stun me.
Is it 3:26 flat?
Yeah.
Okay, that's, a second and a half to improve. That would surprise me. I remember last year people were talking up Jakob being close to a record. He's like, I'm not really close. I'm a second. This level is a lot. So fair enough. I probably spoke there. But in my top five winners and losers, I didn't even have Nagusa on the list. He probably would have been six or seven. But again, he's been surpassed by Hawker. And he did run good, though. He ran the race that he's always running on the circuit. Very good, very fast, up front, competitive, just not winning. And really was the race that he should have run last year as well. But I was watching the replay of some of these races recently. I watched the 10K again, watched the 15. Yared is just a good dude. Like, my wife likes watching him. Is the tennis guy going to run again? But he just went up and he's like, they got my personality on the circuit. He went up and hugged Cole right away. I'm not sure Cole runs up and hugs him right away. I'm not sure Weldon hugs me right away. If but I would have hugged Weldon if he won that gold medal.
So that's nice to know. No, Yared is a guy who very much wants to have fun and enjoy this time. Like, he wants to win, but I don't think anyone would ever describe him as a killer. He's not, you know, a win at all costs guy. He's a, hey, if I'm just judging whether I had success or whether I had fun by whether I won or lost, most of the time you're going to lose at a championship. It's very hard to win every single time. And he'll win US championships. He'll win a lot of races. But like, if he's measuring the Olympics purely by whether he won or lost the gold, most of the time you're not going to win. And I think it's fine. It's fine to have both attitudes. You measure the gold medal as the ultimate thing of success, but I think it's a healthy perspective to have. And he just kind of he realizes his time at this level of the sport isn't that long and he's not going to be doing it forever. And I think he doesn't want to come away thinking, man, I was just feeling miserable and bad about myself the whole time when I got beat. I kind of want to enjoy the experience. So I think it's nice. All right, Robert, I see something here in the show notes and I included this in my great unanswered questions from Paris 2024, which was, would Tyreek Hill have beaten Noah Lyles in the 100? Because that's what he recently said to Kay Adams of Up and Adams, the famous Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill, who ran 20.14 when he was in high school. I put this as a joke. I didn't actually think this was a great unanswered question because it's quite obvious. He has no chance in hell of beating Noah Lyles in 100. But you disagree? Can you explain yourself?
I think Tyreek Hill has world-class speed. Depends on how the race is set up. Would I think he would beat Noah Lyles in 100 and win the Olympic 100 meters? No, I do not. But if you set up a track race on a football field, I mean, not a track race, a foot race on a football field, my money's on Tyreek Hill. Put one of them on get them on the goal line. Put one of them on the right hand, on the right hash, you know, or 10 yards off the sideline on the right side. Put the other one 10 yards off on the sideline on the left side. Have them run 20 yards all out, fake like they're going to go out to the sideline, and then cut in towards the hash marks. First one to the 50 yard line. I think Tyreek Hill wins that. What do you guys think?
Well, you're asking me who do I think is better at running routes, an NFL player or Noah Lyles who doesn't play football? Yeah, it's. I mean, if you're saying, are they wearing pads, Robert? Are they wearing football spikes? Like, no, Tyreek Hill is better at football than Noah Lyles is. I don't doubt that.
You can have him in the half tights, no pads.
Of course Tyreek Hill is going to be a better route runner than Noah Lyles. Like, it's not even a question. A 30-yard sprint, he might even beat him. I don't know about a 40 or something, but, like, this is a completely different thing. Now, Tyreek Hill is the one guy who did have world-class speed. He's a bronze medal on the 200 at World Juniors. But maybe I don't need to remind you, Noah Lyles was a gold medalist at World Juniors in the 100. So Noah Lyles' shorter speed was actually better than, you know, his accomplishments as a junior athlete were slightly better than Hill's. But it's like completely, we're just comparing about apples and oranges now. Like, but Tyreek Hill's comment, they beat Noah Lyles in the 100, that's a laughing stock. Come on, maybe with, you never know what would happen with training or whatnot, but like, he's acting like he'd do it right now. He would need a 10-yard head start.
I mean, talk is cheap. You can talk all you want about, oh, I can beat these guys in a race. That option's open to you, man. There are plenty of races where you can run a time, you can qualify for the U.S. Championships, and you can put it on there. And Tyreek Hill showed up to the U.S. Masters Indoor Championships, and that was where he gave his effort, and he beat the people there because, you know, they're not pros. So I understand logistically that's difficult. He's a professional athlete and one of the best in his sport, and it's not as simple as just like, oh, I can finally train full-time as a track athlete, but if you'd like to race Noah Lyles, I can tell you how to do it. He'll be at the U.S. Championships. Well, actually, he's got the double bye, so maybe he won't be at the U.S. Championships next year, but the next Olympic trials, he'll be there. You can get your shot if you can qualify.
What did DJ Metcalf run last year, boys?
DK Metcalf. He ran 10:36 back in 2021, which I actually thought was pretty solid. I mean,
yeah, that's a long
obviously
way.
It's
that's
not
a
competitive
long
with the
way
best guys, but
seven.
Yeah, it is. But I was actually impressed by how DK Metcalf ran.
I like how Al Hill just got infuriated by my it was a comment again. Like he says, you guys shouldn't be considered world champions. I didn't know he said it's NFL players as well as NBA players. And this guy's like, that guy shouldn't be talking. So I like both of them kind of standing up for their thing. Niles is sort of needling the NFL guys. And the NFL guys, it is absurd for a track athlete to sort of talk down about the athleticism of the NFL because those guys are insane. They're absolutely insane. Like, do I think Noah Lyles would be an NFL star? No, I don't. I think Grant Holloway might be quite good because he had a football background. But
I think Krauser would be amazing lineman. Like, I really think his strength and his footwork, I wouldn't be shocked if that guy was like a Pro Bowl offensive lineman. But
well, there's a threat on Let's Run. Why doesn't he do it now? Like, think about how much money he can make in the NFL. And some people are like, well, I didn't read the whole thread. Some are debating. Apparently, he played high school football. Maybe he wouldn't be as good as we think. I mean, Adam Nelson was world champion. Dartmouth's finest, John, was world champion in the
Olympic champion as well.
Was Olympic champion in the shot put, and he was like a mediocre Ivy League football player. So maybe we're not being accurate on this.
Well, I don't know. These sort of hypotheticals, you know. Yeah, we probably spent a little bit too much time on it. Okay, one thing I wanted to hit before we leave. Today is August 16th as we record it. Robert, do you know what happened in track and field history on August 16th?
I do because you told me.
Usain Bolt. It's actually both his last two 100-meter world records were both on August 16th. August 16th, 2008 in Beijing, he runs 9.69. 1 year later, August 16th, 2009, Berlin, Germany, the Olympia Stadion. 9.58. That was the world record. Smashed the world record by 11 hundredths of a second. It's still the world record. No one has even come close to it in the 15 years since then. So, two questions for you, Robert. Why has this record stood for so long? And how much longer is it going to stand? Because 15 years, that is the longest any 100-meter world record has stood since automatic timing. The previous longest was 14, and that was by Jim Hines when he ran 9.95 back in 1968. But he had the altitude of Mexico City helping him there. So you can kind of understand. This Bolt's run was essentially at sea level in Berlin.
Why has 9.58 stood for so long? Because it's damn good. First of all, World Athletics needs to put an altitude thing in there so somebody can't go to 10,000 feet and try to break it. We don't want this record that stood this long to be broken out of technicality. How long will it last? Well, when I launch my sprint site, I'm not taking out 957. I'm just going to take out 958.com. I'm pretty confident it's going to last for another while. I just think he was a freak, John. No one thought that anyone that big would be good at the 100 meters, and he was good at it. Now, Tobogo is not quite as tall, but he kind of reminds me of Bolt. But he's got a ways to go on that one. So wouldn't shock me if we're only halfway into the lifetime of this. What do you think?
Yeah, some people on Twitter were saying, oh, the person who breaks this record hasn't even been born yet. I'm not sure about that, but no one has run 9.7. No one has broken 9.7 since 2012. So I don't think we're particularly close. Because Shane Thompson, it wouldn't shock me if he runs in the 9.6s one day. But 9.58? Yeah, Bolt, like you said, Robert, just an absolute freak. He had absurd turnover married with a really long stride because he was 6'5". So you put those two things together, that's how you get Usain Bolt. Yeah, I think another 10 years I could see that.
I don't know. There was a couple years ago, what record was it? You said it would never be. Oh, you know, Kipchoge's record would never be touched. It was touched. It was torched within like a year. So, because Shane Thompson is pretty damn good.
If we get super spikes, though, I mean, we could get some Bolt-like talent pops up in a year or two, and suddenly he, you know, we hadn't seen Bolt until he shows up, and suddenly he's ripping off these world records. But what's kind of what's interesting to me is we used to have more 9.7 guys. And now if you go anything under 9.7, and maybe that's just because the sport has cleaned up since then.
Oh.
But what do you think, Robert? Because no, I mean, if you run 9.7 these days, that's like the PR of the best, the very best guys, and no one's running in the 9.6s.
I think Walden was trying to chime in, but the internet connection and his vehicle doesn't seem to be working. John supplying drugs there. That's very interesting. I mean, I do think drug testing is better. I mean, I hate to, I'm sure some people are in their car right now or running and just screaming, are you guys stupid? Drugs. There's people that think drugs is the answer of everything. But it is kind of interesting. I mean, you kind of either need to assume that, I mean, if you look at the, you know, Montilla stopped her right now, and I'm pulling up the deep all-time 100-meter world list, and we've been spending, you know, a number of minutes here talking about Usain Bolt's 9.58 from 15 years ago. But the man at number two on the list, actually, well, even making my point, the man at number two on the list, there's two people tied at number two. Tyson Gay, who had a 2.0 win and served a doping suspension, and Johan Blake. So if you just look at Blake, like, you either assume that it's just that he was Usain Bolt's training partners. So there's really only three options here. One, two of the biggest freak talents of all time happened to be on the same island in Jamaica, you know, and born very similar times to each other. Or two, their coach was so much better than anyone else's that, you know, that's why they were good. Or three, they were on a substance that nobody else was on, nobody got caught with. And, you know, I guess you could have a combination of all three, coaching, drugs, and talent. But, yeah, Walden's college friends with Matt Taylor, founder of Tracksmith, they spent a lot of time with Usain Bolt. And, you know, I remember asking him back in the day, what do you think? I said, I've never seen any indication that there's illegal drugs. So I want to believe Bolt's clean. I also wanted to believe Kiprop was clean. It looked like to me that Alex Bell Kiprop was born to run the 1500. That tall, lanky stride. That guy was a junior phenom. And guess what? He was on EPO. Doesn't mean that he was always on EPO, but I think Bolt was just a freak. So I if you put a gun to my head, I'm saying he's clean.
Me too, Robert. And remember, this guy won the 200 World Juniors when he was 15 years old. Usain Bolt was a phenom his entire life. That's ridiculous to be able to do that. But obviously, Willow, this comes up all the time when people run these historically fast times. All the people around him on the all-time list serve some sort of suspension. Tyson Gay, busted for doping. Johan Blake and Asafa Powell were both sort of supplements. These were not like, you know, it's not like they were just taking testosterone. That's not what they were banned for. They got shorter bans for sort of less serious substances, but they did serve bans. And Justin Gatlin was banned for essentially testosterone or its precursors. He's kind of been unclear exactly, you know, his story. He hasn't had a consistent story about what happened there. It does seem like he's going in with the sabotage thing, but he was banned. And then Christian Coleman, whereabouts suspension, no evidence that he was doping, but he also served a suspension. So that's why a lot of people would look at these 9.7s and say, well, look, all these other guys getting banned. But then the other side of that is, yeah, but were any of these like flat out clear, obvious doping cases? I think Gatlin's the one that Gatlin and Gay, I think people would say yes. The other one's less inclined to.
But it's absurd how much faster he is. And I don't think drugs is not an easy explanation either. Like, he's 0.2 faster than Noah Lyles. Like, a 10.2 and a 10 flat sprinter, that's not even like the same ballpark. Or a guy who's running like 10 flat, do you think he's become a 9.8 guy? Like, it's just crazy how much better
or how much faster Usain Bolt was than these guys, but, you know, he was tall and lanky. It is just a completely different look than what you see from these other guys. And he did bulk up a bit, so I want to believe he could be clean, you know, like, because they're not even getting close. And it's been 15 years, which historically is like a really long time, which is nuts because I don't see it going down anytime soon. And now if the shoes change or someone starts taking some supplement, like we're thinking that's maybe some of the stuff in the 800. And I'm wondering about the 1500 too. Could it be a sodium bicarbonate supplement? Like that's. I want apples to apples and apples to apples. Unless you're saying it's drugs, no one's even close to him right now.
There you have it. Kashane Thompson will break the 100-meter world record next year. The reverse sluts run .com jinx is on. All right, I think that's going to do it. I've got to tidy up this motel room before I check out tomorrow. Hopefully COVID-free. Walden has to look for housing. It's only appropriate, John, that he doesn't actually have a house to call his own right now, considering where he'll be moving to in a few weeks. That's all I'll say for now.
Well, good luck cleaning up that motel. I think it's a hotel. You're not in a motel, right, Robert? But good luck cleaning it up, because I know from staying with you on trips, those rooms tend to look like a hurricane moved through. But I was pleasantly surprised to see we got our Airbnb review from our place in Paris, and I think the host said that we left the place spotless, which I was shocked, because when you left, leaving me to clean up the rest of the stuff, it was far from spotless. So I guess I did a really good job, but even I think I missed some stuff there. But anyway, we got a good review, and we'll be able to continue staying on the Let's Run business account at Airbnbs.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John. I had sick leave. And, you know, early in the show when you were sick, I didn't show you a lot of sympathy. I did think it was weird. I'm like, wow, John's not even working. And then I went to the morning session that you didn't go to. I'm like, wow, he's not even waking up to help. But you pulled through and cleaned the place appropriately, John. Thank you.
We picked each other up when we're low, Robert. So I'm glad you're getting back to full health. And we'll be back next week with another podcast. Have a nice interview lined up. I won't spoil the identity, but I think you guys are going to enjoy it. And then we've got Diamond League on Thursday. So you guys are going to be on vacation, I believe, but will you be tuning into Lausanne on Thursday so we can maybe do a post-race show?
We got to make the Friday 15 minutes vacation. I went to time with my Paris wife.
Okay. Well, we'll cross that bridge when you come to it. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Thanks, Supporters Club members. Until next week. See ya.